Welcome back. We Watch, We Collect, a baseball podcast presented by Believe Podcast Network. I am like 2 weeks behind on this shit. I don't think I put out an episode last week. I honestly don't remember if I did or not. I don't think I did, which sucks because I'm behind. But last week was busy with the homestand. And that, you know, that's how I'm going to start this episode. Basically with the fact that I'm going to do a new schedule, a release schedule for myself. Just so I don't have to always have to be worried about, oh shit, is it Thursday? And then I got a release on Friday. So instead, with the Tope schedule currently, every Monday is an off day. So Monday will be officially, I'm going to start doing my recordings on Monday. And I'm going to release Tuesday morning now. Or Tuesday, anyway. But that's what I'm going to start doing because the Thursday and the Friday, like Thursday today is fine. Like the team is gone. I could record today, but I think in order to be a little bit more consistent, just so I'm not worried about recording Thursday morning. I did it last year or Thursday night. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to worry about that or have to get up early on Thursday just to record. So I'm just going to start recording on Mondays now and be releasing on Tuesdays. And then I was also thinking like, oh, maybe I could just record Monday and then just have it scheduled for Friday. But the way I see it is, what if shit happens and then I don't have enough room to talk about it? And I'm talking about old news when I release it on Friday. So I'm gonna record Monday, which is great too, because like after the weekend series goes on for baseball, I could like at least talk about some of those that went on. So I want to start doing Mondays recording days, and I will start releasing on Tuesdays now. So, that's how I'm pretty much starting this episode with new release schedule. Of course, when the Tope season is done, come end of September, I'll probably go back to Fridays. Or actually, well, no, during that time, it'll be the postseason, so it'll be every other day or every other series. So this is how it's going to be now. So I'll record Mondays, release on Tuesdays, and then once October hits, that's just when it's going to come down. So I'm going to release every other series or probably every other game for the postseason because it's postseason baseball. It's awesome. Anyway, but yeah, record every Monday, and I'm going to release every Tuesday from now on. So gives me enough time because Mondays are off days, don't really have to do much, and it's nice. So, starting with that. Next thing, now I could actually get into a little bit of the baseball talk, which I'm kind of behind. I'm not going to go back into last week's shit. I don't want to be talking about old news, honestly, but the one thing that I do want to talk about, and I actually think it was kind of funny, and honestly, like, just give my, like, whole thing about it, is the Cubs chanting, the Fernando Tatis out there in the outfield, they're chanting, "You did steroids," and he turns it into a dance. Like, and he's over there dancing on the outfield. And you know what? I'm all for that. Like, I'm all for the heckling, whatever. It's going to come either way. Like, he's expecting it everywhere he goes, especially being out in right field. You're going to get it from all those guys in the bleachers. So I'm not fine with that. They should stop doing that. Like, now, who am I to tell him what to chant or what to heckle Tatis about? Like, you just got back from suspension for apparently doing steroids. So it's going to come with it once you come back. So, but what I will say though, is I didn't mind the dancing, the heckling, whatever. What I did find it a little odd is, I don't know, maybe it's like the whole, like, your team's losing like 6 or 5 nothing, and like I get it. You know what? Not defend your honor, but like, yeah, like make fun out of it. Like make it seem like the Cubs fans are their end of the joke because you're out there dancing your ass off and you're not bothered by it or whatever. But it's like, dude, you're losing, dude. And like your team doesn't have the best, like, it isn't in the best position to begin with. I don't know, maybe I look at it a different way, but I'm all for it. I'm all for that shit. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm all for that. But it's like, oh man, pick a different time to do that. But you obviously can't pick it because the Cubs friends are the one heckling. Like currently right now, they're 13-13. Like they're 500. They're not losing. They're not winning. So, well, they're not, don't have a losing schedule. They don't have a winning schedule. So, but I mean, they're not the only ones that are kind of like either one game or 500 or one game behind. Like there's a lot of teams, and I'll go over it a little bit later on this episode. I'm gonna go over a little bit of standings check, first standings check of 2023. So it's gonna be kind of fun. We're about 25 ish or more games in the season, so it's kind of nice, quarter way to 100. But yeah, that's just my whole thing. But I did enjoy it though. It was cool. He had his little ski mask on. Like I said, cold out there in Chicago, and I'm all for it. I'm all for the heckling, whatever. Do what you gotta do. I'm all for Tatis out there making a little dance out of it, enjoying his time, having a good old time out there in right field. But what I was like, dude, come on, you're losing, and your team wasn't even in the best position during that time. But you know what? To each their own. I don't think Tatis really did steroids. I mean, I think it was just a freak, like he didn't read what was on the bottle type thing, didn't go to his actual Padres trainers, decided to take something over the counter over there in the Dominican. Who knows? But me personally, I don't think he cheated. I don't. I really don't. Still don't kind of like have the best thoughts about the guy or whatever. But you know what? He plays baseball and he's fucking good. So can't really say anything about that. I mean, but I'm all for the heckling, I'm all for the dancing, and I'm all for all that shit. But it's like, damn, I just kind of wish they weren't losing during that time, because that's, oh man, not a bad look, but it's like I don't know what type of look it is. It's not a bad look, but I don't know. But I'm like, god damn, maybe, oh man, maybe next time. But You obviously can't pick, like, your team's losing, they started to heckle during that time, you did steroids, so what does he do? Turns it into a dance. Can't blame the guy. Like, I'm all for that shit. Like, talk your shit and don't be bothered by it if you're on the other side of it. Make fun out of it. But hey, that's not even baseball, that's sports for you. Like, but of course, baseball, it's a little different because fans out there in left center and right field are a lot closer to probably any athlete out there in every sport, aside from basketball players, maybe. But oh man, I thought that was awesome. Like, I was like, that's pretty funny. Next thing I want to get into is kind of a big deal, and it's not finally out because obviously it's releasing early in the season, no matter what. But 2023 Bowman Baseball is out, and it is full of about 80% of the draft guys from last year. Like, Drew Jones is in there. I don't know if Jackson Holliday, I believe he's in there. He has to be. I've yet to see an autograph card of his, but Drew Jones is in there. A lot of his cards are already getting pulled. A Bowman Chrome autograph, I believe numbered to 150, already sold for about $7,200 raw. And give it a couple of days. Shit, probably over this weekend already, people are going to be rushing in to get their cards graded by PSA or SGC. Probably not Beckett. They're not in the best of terms with collectors right now. I'll talk about that in a future episode. But yeah, 2023 Bowman Baseball is out. All the prospects are in it from last year's draft. And, of course, Drew Jones is the main one. Even though he wasn't the first overall pick, he's just kind of the main guy that everyone's going after, like, right now. Which I honestly don't blame him. Like, it would be great to pull an auto of his. He's not my guy. I mean, who did he get drafted by? Diamondbacks? Yeah, the Diamondbacks. But he's not my guy. That's not my team. But it wouldn't hurt to have one. It would be cool to have one. But obviously, it's an investment thing. And I believe right now the boxes are going for about between $280 to $300 a box. Which, I don't know. I think you get two autographs per box. I'm not even sure. You know what? Hold on. Give me a little bit. I'm gonna look it up real quick. But I know it is a very sought after product. It's Bowman Baseball, not Bowman Chrome. Bowman Chrome doesn't come out till like months later. So let's see. Okay, here we go. So Bowman Chrome doesn't come out till months later, which obviously that product will be a lot more. That's gonna be like a $500-$600 box because that's guaranteed Chrome autographs, which. If you don't know, Chrome autographs are sought after when it comes to Bowman. Like, not paper autographs. They're fine. They're stickers. They're cool. But Bowman Chrome is where it's at. That's the card you want. That's the main shit that you want from your guy, whoever it may be. So, I'm looking at it now. So, I'm looking at it. Oh, my goodness. This checklist is horrible. So it's one autograph per hobby box, and then a jumbo box is guaranteed three autographs. So in a hobby box, you've got 10 cards per pack, and there's 24 packs per box. And in a jumbo, you've got 32 cards per pack, 12 packs per box. And then of course you got blasters you can find at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, probably what have you. The set size is 100 cards, which it obvious shit. 100 cards, that's a lot. No, it's not. Like, to be quite honest, 100 cards is nothing. Like, that's easy to get. But some of them do get expensive, whether they're paper or not. Some of these guys' cards just go for a lot more. And that's just the way it is. Like, that's just how it is. So, and it's a mix, too. So, it's 100 base cards, but it's a mix between all rookies, veterans, and things like that. The prospects, I think, are pretty much their own thing. So, obviously, they'll have first Bowman on the top right corner of the card when you're getting it. That's their first Bowman, which is it's their first legit rookie card. Like, that's the card you want. It's first Bowman. It's their very first one. It's their autograph. It's the card you want to see how good they get to when they get eventually do or if get to the big leagues. Like, that's just how it is. And there's a lot of inserts. There's prospects. Prospect inserts, things like that. So it's nice. So I believe the parallels, I don't know how many there are, but I do know off the top of my head that I think there's 150 Bowman prospect autographs or prospect cards. So those are the ones that will have first Bowman on their card. It's 150 of them. The base set list is 100. That's full of rookies and veterans. That's 100. So that's why I was saying that they're separate. So the prospects are 150. There's 150 of those guys. And then there's 100 base set list. So in total, there's math pod 250 cards you'd want. 150 prospects with the first Bowman badge on the top right corner. And then there's 100 base, which is mixed between rookies and current players in Major League Baseball. So got to keep that in mind. And of course, there's one of ones, the platinums, and these are paper, by the way. Like, there's printing plates, obviously, the black, the cyan, the magenta and yellow printing plates. I'm not a printing plate guy, but hey, some people are. Of course, the red out of five. Red is always usually out of five. And these are paper, so they're a lot different. They're a lot different. So, I mean, of course, there's a lot. Like, if you look at team sets, like, let's look at, like, a team set. So, obviously, let's go to Arizona Diamondbacks and look for Drew Jones, which he's in. Bowman Prospects. Drew Jones is the first one. He's card number 25. And he does have prospects autographed too. Like, Jordan Lawler has one, of course. Drew Jones obviously has one. His first Bowman autograph. He's probably the most sought after guy, honestly. But even going into the autographs, there's, I think, I'm not sure what they're doing yet, but I know there's a lot more parallels this year, but I'm not completely sure, obviously, because it's not Bowman Chrome. They're not going to release all the parallels, but I think this year they're doing a little bit more just for this one. I think they're doing like five or six, which is honestly a lot. Like, in past couple of years, super fractors weren't even in there for all the players, which I don't even know if a lot of the players will have their super fractor in this one. So, like, we'll stay on Drew Jones since he's, like, the sought-after guy. So, let's say Bowman comes out, which, well, it already is. Bowman is out. Will his super fractor be in there? And these are, like, the questions that people are asking themselves. Like, will his super fractor be in there? If not, then which other parallels will be in there that people want? So, obviously, the super fractor is the main one. I've talked about the super fractor in so many episodes. It's a one-of-one. The card is gorgeous. It's like gold. It's got like gold swirls in it. It's a beautiful card. You have to see a super fractor in person. Like, a picture does no justice. Like, Google it all you want. Google a super fractor in general all you want. Seeing it in person is yeah, it's seeing a super fractor in person is so much better. A picture does no justice to how gorgeous a super fractor looks. But we don't know. That's just what, like, Bowman or Topps doesn't tell anybody, is if these super fractors will be with these guys. So apparently there's insert autographs that have super fractors in them, which are only obviously inserts for Bowman Baseball, but Bowman Chrome is a lot different. That one is mainly all, mainly all Chrome baseball cards. So Bowman, I've never been a huge Bowman guy, honestly. I'll get a few blasters here and there to see who I pull, but I've never been a prospector, as they call them in the hobby world, where I'm going to go for this guy because I think he can be Rookie of the Year, All-Star, Hall of Famer, whatever. Shit, that's like 20 years down the line. I'm not that type of guy. I mean, I'll get a few products here and there, or a few boxes here and there, but like $280 to $300 a box, it's just not for me. I'm not that type of collector. I don't really go for that type of stuff. I'm not really a prospector type collector when it comes to this stuff. So, but Bowman is out. It's officially out. And yeah, it's officially out. And everyone's been waiting for it. Everyone wants Drew Jones, Jackson Holliday, all those first round guys. And it's going to be fun because give it a couple of days. Obviously, this is releasing on Friday. Look over this weekend. I'm pretty sure you'll find a bunch of it already on eBay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll find a bunch on eBay. I apologize if this thing is like cutting off. I have no idea what's going on with Audacity right now, which is what I use to record. But I apologize. I don't know why it's doing this. But anyway, next thing I want to get into before I get into the last thing I want to talk about, which is actually pretty damn cool, which is actually out today, the 28th, but I'll get to a little later. First, got to get into a little bit of a standings check as of today, April 27th, because obviously I'm recording on Thursday. Let's start with the NL, and we're starting with the NL East. We have the Atlanta Braves in first place with the NL East with 17-8. We have the Mets in second place with 14-11 that are three games back. Marlins are 12-13, same with the Phillies, and the Nationals are 9-14. The biggest separation of that division is seven games. The Nationals are seven games out of first place. And of course, Atlanta has a pretty early lead with 17-8, haven't even lost 10 games yet. But next one, NL Central. This is the holy shit, what the hell is going on type division. The Pittsburgh Pirates are in first place with 17-8. They have the same record as the Atlanta Braves, and they don't even have nowhere near the same caliber of players, which is crazy. Crazy. And the Pirates have a better record at home than the Atlanta Braves do, which is also pretty funny. But the Milwaukee Brewers are right behind them, one game back at 16-9. The Cubs are 13-10. The Reds are 10-15. And the Cardinals, which were my NL Central pick, which is what the hell is going on, they're 9-16. They're eight games back of first place. So that's the division that's got everyone kind of in like running in circles right now. Like, what the hell? Why are the Pirates good? It's probably because they got Andrew McCutchen back. I'm a huge morale guy. You don't know what that dude does in the clubhouse now. Maybe everyone's starting to ball out now because he's back. You don't know. I don't know why this thing is like cutting off so much. But anyway, it could be because Andrew McCutchen's back. It could be because Brian Reynolds just signed a good size contract for him, which is as I was saying before this thing keeps fucking cutting off. Brian Reynolds signing a contract with Pittsburgh Pirates finally. Even though he was wanted to request a trade. But I don't know. It could be the Pirates' year. Who knows? But again, it's only April. Even though April's almost done. It's only April. We don't know. But if you're a Pirates fan, you got to be feeling good. I don't blame you. You got to be feeling the really, really good that you're ahead. Even though by one game, but you're in first place and you got a good lead. You've got, what are you, nine games? Yeah, you're nine games above 500. So it's pretty damn good. You just got to hold it. NL West now, which is kind of like anyway, NL West, which kind of it's a goofy division for one because everyone's kind of separated by not everyone, except the Rockies. But everyone's separated no more than two games, which is crazy. Rockies have a six-game deficit for first place. But Arizona Diamondbacks are in first with 14-12. Dodgers are 13-12. Padres are 13-13. And then the Giants are 11-13. So, and the Giants are separated by two games from first place. The Rockies are 8-18, separated by six games. So, that division, it's still up for grabs. Like that, any division is, honestly. Any division is still up for grabs. But that one, it's a little weird because now everyone's has that thought that the Dodgers are not going for it this year. They didn't spend that much money. They're not worried about a thing. I don't know if I believe that. I honestly don't, because the Dodgers are just good no matter what. Like, they have dudes on their in their lineup, you know, their rotation and bullpen's a different story. But I don't know. But I have the Padres winning it, the division. I still do. Diamondbacks are doing their own thing. They've got some brand new dudes on that squad. They're doing their damn thing. They're winning, obviously, 2 games above .500. Hey, winning record is a winning record. But who knows? Again, it's still April. Still a little early. We're only about 25-ish games in the season. Still, it's a good sample, but not a big enough sample. Like, a good sample is like 60 games, you know, 60, 70 games maybe, you know, 90 more for the season. You want at least 60 games. Give me 60 and we'll see you. What it is, because like same thing goes with a lot of players' stats right now. Like it's a good size sample, but not a big enough sample. But I'm not a huge numbers guy when it comes to that shit. Like I wait for like the middle of the season, which is the All-Star break, the trade deadline, and look where teams are at, which is like where you want to be. Because if like let's say if you're the Diamondbacks and you still have a 2-game lead or over 500 and you still have a, you know, a 2-game lead in the division, you do want to make some moves. You want to hold it. You want to be the Arizona Diamondbacks again. But I'm getting way too ahead of myself. I just caught myself. I'm getting way too ahead. I'll get there when I get there, when it gets close to the trade deadline. We'll get there. But right now, just play the damn thing. Play baseball. That's all it is. Next one I want to get into, obviously, the American League is the last one left. I'm going to start with the AL West, which is a team who is in first place, not by much, but it's a team that I told everybody to watch out for. I'm like, look out for them because they might be doing a little bit of something. Texas Rangers are in first place in the AL West. It's only by a half game. They're 14-10 with the Astros at 14-11, but still. Angels 13-12, Mariners are 11-13, and the Oakland Athletics with a Oakland Athletics have a reverse record of the Tampa Bay Rays. They're 5-20, which obviously the Rays are 20-5. So that division's also like pretty much like the NL West, where like it's kind of up for grabs. We'll see who comes out on top. We'll see what happens in 60 games. We'll see what it's looking like during the All-Star break, middle of the season. But Rangers have a better record at home than the other teams. Astros have a losing record at home, which is crazy. But they have a winning record on the road, and the Rangers are .500 on the road. When it comes to that type of stuff, I honestly don't care about their win home split, because a win is a win, a loss is a loss. Obviously, if a team hits better on the road, that's one thing. A team hits better on at home, that's one thing. But hey, I look at it as a loss is a loss, a win's a win, and that's just what I see it as. That's just me. That's just the way I think sometimes. But Rangers are doing the damn thing. They're winning. They're winning some games. AL Central, the Minnesota Twins are in first place, 14-11. Guardians have a losing record, 12-13. Tigers are 9-14. The White Sox are 7-18, and the Royals are 6-19. That division sucks. That division sucks so bad. And I had the White Sox winning the division. I don't know if they're going to end up winning it because, oh, man, their road. Like I said, I'm not a numbers guy, but their road split, they're 4-12 on the road. That's pretty bad. Anyway, but damn, AL Central sucks. Like, that division sucks. It basically, It blows my mind that a lot of those teams just don't make enough moves. Like, Twins made moves. Yeah, they signed Correa. And, man, I don't know. That team, that division is so up for grabs that whoever spends the most money and gets some players will probably guarantee you win that division, which I don't know, understand why those teams don't do it. It's crazy. But, damn, that division sucks. Anyway, let's go into the AL East, my division. This one has me like in like a what the fuck is going on type thing, but Tampa Bay Rays are 20-5, best record in baseball, first team to 20 wins, probably going to be the last team to 10 losses. Orioles are 6-18, they're 3.5 games back. Blue Jays are 16-8, and then the Blue Jays are 16-9, so they're pretty tight. Yankees are 14-11, and then the Red Sox are 13-13. So that division is so, oh my goodness, like what, which I'm not, honestly, I'm not mad. Like, I'm not mad because I have nothing against Tampa. I have nothing against the Orioles. I have nothing against the Blue Jays. I don't like the Yankees, so fuck them. I'm glad they're in fourth. But I'm genuinely excited for Tampa. Like, I really am. Like, I'm curious to see how long they can hold out for. I said it in one of my previous episodes. Let's see how long they can hold this for, because regular season is one thing, but playoffs is another. But that's way too ahead. I'm talking about something that's going on 6-5 months later. So, but either way, a 15 game lead or a 15 game over 500 lead is great. Like I said before, any team, any fan would love that. I most certainly would. I wish I had a, I don't know. I'm sick and tired of the Red Sox being 500 every other day. Like, we lose, we win, we lose, we win, we lose, and we win. It sucks. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of being 500. I want a winning record with at least 3 games. Like, I want to be 16-13 for once. At least give me 16-13. At least let us finish April with a winning record. I don't care if it's one game above 500. I just want to finish April with a winning record. That's all I want. And I made a little prediction on my last one about when I was talking about Tampa that I don't think they lose more than 5 games in April, and we have less than 4 days left in April, and they're at 5 losses. So we'll see if my prediction holds true. We'll see if it does. I hope it does. But that's the quick standings check. AL East, we have Tampa in first. AL Central, we have the Twins in first. AL West, we have the Rangers in first. That just looks weird. NL East, we have Atlanta, Braves in first. NL Central, the Pirates. NL West, the Diamondbacks. It's so weird. Like, if you're looking at like one of these standings, like, you gotta screenshot it and like compare them month to month and see how much they change, because I'm pretty sure it will change. It just depends on how much and who it's gonna be changed by. So, but that's pretty much all I got when it comes to like a little bit of baseball talk. I could talk about other stuff, but it's kind of old news by now. But next thing I want to talk about is releases today, well, as you're listening, on April 28th, the King of Collectibles Netflix show, The Golden Touch, is now officially out on Netflix. Alex Jaimo, who I interviewed early this year, is in the show. Obviously, I'm recording on Thursday. I haven't watched it, but next week I will be talking about it because it's all about collectibles. It's all about baseball cards, sneakers, jerseys, bats, memorabilia, all kinds of shit. Like, it's the type of show where even if you don't collect and you're curious about how expensive some shit can be, watch the show. Like, it's going to be, I think she told me, 6 episodes, like 40 some minutes each. I'm going to binge watch that shit tomorrow. It's all I'm going to be doing tomorrow. Congratulations to Alex Jaimo. We Watch, We Collect alum. So I'm happy for her. She comes out on the show. I haven't seen it yet, but I will watch it. But I know she comes out on the show. Completely happy for her. I feel like this is what like the hobby needs, or just collecting in general, not to make it mainstream, but like, hey, you know, this world is out there. Take a quick glance at it, because it's pretty damn exciting what people can find and what people will sell shit at, and how crazy even some celebrities will get to look for something. Like, I know, I think Drake comes out on the show, Peyton Manning comes out on the show, like a lot of other collectors come out on the show. Ken Golden comes out, and of course Alex Jaimo comes out. Happy for her, congratulated her multiple times. I've texted her a couple of times. I mean, it's gonna be good. I know it's gonna be good. I'm happy that finally a show like that is coming out, and I'm super excited to watch it. Obviously, I will be watching it probably right now while you're listening or anything, whatever. But I'm excited for this show. I'm curious to see what it's going to be all about. I'm super happy. I'm hoping to get Alex back on the pod to talk about the show. I've reached out to her. Obviously, she's promoting it, she's busy. But I'm hoping that I can get her on the show, whether as soon as the show comes on or a little bit later on. But I'm hoping to get her back on, because we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it. So super excited about that. Watch it. King Collectibles, The Golden Touch on Netflix, April 28th, today. Watch it. Let's learn some shit. Let's have our minds blown by some of this shit, because honestly, I'm curious too. Like, I'm in the know when it comes to like what's being sold, but I'm not in their offices or in their heads or in the drama. So I'm curious to see what this show is going to be about. I really, really am. It's going to be good. But I think that's all I got for this episode, honestly. I will be recording next week starting on Monday. So next week, Tuesday, and every Tuesday then, my episodes will drop. No longer on Fridays, now on Tuesdays. I will record Monday, releasing on Tuesday. I will be recording on off days now. So thank you for listening. Truly appreciate it. If you're a brand new listener, welcome. Huge thank you to Believe Podcast Network, of course. Stay watching, stay collecting, and I'll catch you guys in the next one.